Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Rabbi Levi Cooper discusses B'Shalach. Rabbi Levi Cooper is a member of the Pardes faculty and is a weekly columnist for the Jerusalem Post. And now, Rabbi Levi Cooper.
Thank you, Larry. You know, sometimes you want to give a kid a bath and the kid doesn't want to have a bath. And you turn to the child and you say, just have a bath. It's not going to kill you. Have a bath. Well, could there really be any danger in having a bath? Let us see. Our sages prescribed prayers for all types of situations. Thus, the Talmud relates that someone who enters a public bathhouse should say, Yehi ratzon milfanecha Hashem Elokai. May it be your will, God, my Lord, shetatzileni mize, that you should spare me from this, meaning from this danger, umichayotze bo, and from its like, from similar dangers, va'al yerabi dvar kalkala va'avon, and may no matter of ruin or iniquity befall me, ve'im yerabi dvar kalkala va'avon, and if a matter of ruin or iniquity should befall me, tehei mitati kapara lechol avonotai, let my death be an atonement for all my sins. Why did the sages prescribe such a blessing for someone who enters a public bathhouse? Were they so dangerous, those bathhouses? Roman bathhouses had a hot room, the caldarium, which was built on pillars. The area below the caldarium, called the hypocaust, was connected to a furnace and heated the floor of the caldarium. If the floor of the caldarium would collapse, the bathers would fall into the hypocaust and die. This was a real danger, as is apparent from the continuation of the Talmudic passage. Rabbi Abahu entered a public bathhouse, and the floor beneath him gave way. Fortunately for Rabbi Abahu and the other bathers, a miracle happened, and instead of falling into the hypocaust below, he was left standing on one of the pillars. From that perch, Rabbi Abahu managed to save 101 men with his one arm. The famous 11th century French commentator, Rashi, explains that Rabbi Abahu did not raise 101 people with one hand. Rather, he held on to one or two people, and others held on to them, and so on, thus forming a human chain. Bathhouses were therefore truly hazardous places, unless, that is, you were fortunate enough to take your bath where Rabbi Abahu used to bathe. In this vein, when departing this unsafe site, a prayer of thanksgiving was called for. The Talmud says that the appropriate prayer is to say, Modeh ani lefanecha Hashem Elokai shehitzaltani min ha'ur. I thank you, God, my Lord, for having spared me from the fire. The Talmud cites one sage, the famous Abaya, who objected to the wording of the blessing upon entering the bathhouse. Asking the Almighty to spare us from peril is appropriate, but the last line, and if a matter of ruin or iniquity should befall me, let my death be an atonement for all my sins, such a prayer merely invites danger. A person entering a precarious situation should avoid speaking of impending disaster. In the words of the Talmud, Delo liftach pumei lasatan, so that he does not open his mouth to Satan. That is, he need not give any ideas to Satan. Abaya also objected to another prayer for the same reason. Earlier, in the very same Talmudic tractate, a prayer recited by mourners as they acknowledge the righteousness of the Almighty's judgment is recorded. Ribon ha'olamim, Master of the Universe, Harbe chatati lefanecha, I have sinned greatly before you. Velo nifrata mimeni echad mini aleph, and you have not exacted from me 1/1000th of what I deserve. Yehi ratzon milfanecha, Hashem Elokeinu, may it be your will, God our Lord, shetigdor pirtzoteinu, upirtzot kol amcha beit Yisrael barachamim, that you seal our breaches and the breaches of all your people, the house of Israel, in mercy. According to Abaya, this formula too prods Satan, and therefore should be avoided. The Polish-Jewish commentator Maharsha, who lived in the 16th and 17th centuries, explained that Satan serves as the prosecutor in the heavenly court, and by mentioning the possibility of death, Satan the prosecutor has the opportunity to say, "See, the accused himself admits that he is worthy of the punishment of death." The Talmud continues with the biblical paradigm of the folly of giving the prosecutor the chance to open his mouth. In the book of Isaiah, the Jewish people lamented, "Lulei Hashem Tzvaot hotir lanu sarid, kimat kistom hayinu la'amora daminu. Had not God, the Lord of hosts, left us a remnant, we would have been like Sodom and Gomorrah." The people felt that they would have been justly wiped out, like these two nefarious cities, had it not been for the mercy of the Almighty. Alas, the mention of these cities infamous for debauchery and the confession that the people may be deserving of such hard punishment spurred the prophet Isaiah to respond in kind. Shim'u dvar Hashem ketzinei Sodom, ha'azinu Torat Elokeinu am Amora. Hear the word of God, O chieftains of Sodom. Listen to the law of our Lord, O people of Gomorrah. Other biblical passages seem to suggest this same principle, calling for caution in our choice of words. Thus, in the generation after the great deluge, the people hatched a plan. Let us build for ourselves a city and a tower, such that its top should reach the heavens, and we will make for ourselves a name, lest we be scattered across the face of the entire earth. The very fear that they voiced became part of the punishment when the Almighty foiled their plot. I quote, "And he scattered them from there across the face of the entire earth." Turning to this week's Torah portion, we have a further example. Following the exodus from Egypt, the fledgling Jewish nation stood at the banks of the Reed Sea with the Egyptians hot in pursuit, and they turned to Moses. "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us to die in the desert?" Alas, so it was. This generation that merited freedom from Egypt was destined to wander and eventually die in the desert. The concern for giving Satan a chance to prosecute in the heavenly tribunal has led to a slew of euphemisms in our tradition, and is one of the reasons that diseases are often mentioned in hushed tones or by code words rather than by their real name. Perhaps the most fascinating aspect of the injunction against providing an opportunity for Satan the prosecutor to open his mouth is the fact that the instruction is even recorded in codes of Jewish law. According to one halachic authority, I'm referring to the writings of Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margaliot, also an authority from Poland, living in the 18th and 19th centuries. Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margaliot explained, "This is the very reason that those who are fortunate enough to have parents alive should refrain from reciting the mourner's Kaddish." On a more optimistic note, In the introduction to the ethical work entitled Reishit Chochma, The Beginning of Wisdom, the 16th century Kabbalist from Tzvat, Safed, Rabbi Eliyahu Dividas, explained that this is the meaning of the verse, Mi ha'ish hechafetz chayim ohev yamim lir'ot tov. Who is the person who desires life and loves days that he may see good in them? Netzor leshoncha mera, usefatecha midaber mirma. Guard your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. The key to life is to guard our tongue. It is so important when we speak to be mindful of what we say, not just to so that we don't tempt Satan, but also so that we use the power of the speech for positive ends.
Thank you, Rabbi Cooper. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated, so please send your emails to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.